Fenimore, as if all he wanted was his own climax, and he was going to take it. He ground his hips against Cassian's firm ass and heard an audible moan of pleasure, no more pretense, and, driven by an impulse he didn't understand or question, he put a hand to the back of Cassian's skull, pushing his head down into the mattress. He held him there as he thrust harder, quite as if he only cared about finishing himself off. And as Cassian bucked under him, he spent as if his balls were on fire. Once his head cleared, that seemed a slightly less good idea. "Hell," he said, snatching his hand away. "Cass?" Cassian groped behind him and grabbed his hand, holding it hard. He didn't speak for a moment. Then he made an incoherent noise into the pillow. "Cass," Dazel said again, "I got carried away." "So did I." Cassian twisted his head round. The one eye Dazel could see looked wet. "Oh, God, Dazel, that was the best. My whole life. God." "Oh, well then." Cassian exhaled, apparently breathing out his bones as he did so, because he flattened into the bed like an unset jelly. "Perfect. Perfect. If you want to be unbearably smug, feel free." "That went as you hoped, then." Dazel was milking this shamelessly. He felt he deserved to. "Yes. God, yes. I woke up and I felt you, Lord above." He twisted round, and Dazel did too. So they were lying in one another's arms, legs tangling stickily. "Perfect. Was it? Did you like it?" "More than I thought I would," Dazel said honestly. "Though I felt like quite a bad person for a while. I thought you wouldn't want me to bring you off with my hand." "You didn't need to," Cassian said with deep sincerity and a touch of awe. "All over the sheets, good Lord. That was magical days. Thank you." "It wasn't a hardship," Dazel assured him. Cassian put a hand to his cheek. "I mean it, you asked me what I wanted and you cared to give it to me. And I realize you weren't quite comfortable with the idea and I feel rather selfish for pressing." "Nonsense, I offered and I'll very happily do it again if that's what it does to you. Not without discussion beforehand," he added hastily. He wasn't going to make a habit of grabbing sleeping partners without a "by your leave." "But if you insist on saying that I'm the best fuck of your life, I suppose I'll just have to live up to it." "You absolutely were. Ah, how are you so marvelous?" Dazel was not used to being marvelous. He rather felt he could be led around like a dog on a string by Cassian telling him he was marvelous. "Well, you asked me to be, so it's probably your fault." At the end, when I held you down, it seemed a good idea at the time, but..." "Perfect," Cassian said again. "Which, that's not really something I'd want normally. I know some people do, but it doesn't appeal at all as a rule, but just then it was exactly right. Thank God." Cassian nuzzled into him. "Goodness. Is there, while we're here, is there anything I can do for you?" "I did very well already, thank you." "Not now, I need a moment. I meant, well, is there anything you want? You did that for me, and I don't want to be selfish." He was such an odd fish, with that tiny line of worry between his eyes. Dazel kissed it. "That wasn't selfish. It was a marvelous idea. If you're asking if I'm harboring any secret desires, no, not really. I'm a fairly straightforward sort of man, I'm afraid." "You needn't apologize." Cassian paused. We haven't discussed whether you might want to, you know..."
"Know what?"
"Buggery?" Dazel choked. "There's a question. I don't much care for it on the receiving end. Or do you mean you'd like me to fuck you?"
I don't much like receiving either, but if that's something you want, I could try.
I imagine it would be better with you."
And that was another chunk of Dazel's foolish heart broken off and floating away like a melting icicle.
"I hope it might," but I've no great urge to find out. It's not something I greatly care about in either part. But you must want something. Really, Dazel, you just gave me something I've thought about since I thought about these things. Isn't there anything I can do for you? It's not a quid pro quo, Dazel pointed out. Had Cassian not had a lover before? Well, no, clearly he had, but he seemed oddly uncertain of the etiquette all the same. I'm honored you trusted me with that, and it was magnificent for me because you loved it. And I would absolutely share my secret desires with you if I had any. He wished he did now, just to give Cassian something back for his gift of trust. Maybe. Cassian cocked his head. What was that? Oh, nothing very meaningful, it's just... This would sound dreadfully stupid. But then so did please molest me in my sleep. And Cassian had found the courage to voice that. Well, it's only that I like the way you talk when you want, well, to give instructions. Encouragement. Cassian was looking blank. Dazel said, muffled by embarrassment, I like the way you talk to your horses. Cassian's eyes opened wide, the sun and rain mix glowing with something that might have been laughter. Are you asking me to ride you at all? Dazel winced, apparently. Oh, but I could do that. Cassian's voice dropped into that spine-tingling gentle croon. I could ride you just as you want, my Dazel. My very wonderful Dazel. And tell you how wonderful you are as I do it. A small whimper escaped Dazel's throat. Cassian tightened his arms, and then they were tangled up in kisses again, blissfully lost to the clock, or pointless missions, or anything except one another. Eventually, Cassian squirmed down a bit to lie on Dazel's chest, toying idly with a nipple to interesting effect. I feel I should thank you. For what? Not assuming that I must like to, receive, just because I'm not a great hulk of a man. That's at least one thing John Martin got right. It makes no sense, Dazel said. Why should that... Hold on. What? Oh. Cassian's ready blush flooded his face. Yes. I wasn't entirely honest with you about how I came to be robbed, was I? Well, I couldn't be at the time, but it's how I came to be in an inn with him overnight, that's all. That did make rather more sense, now Dazel thought about it. He hadn't troubled to consider the story deeply. The thief was your lover. Hardly that, we met in a park. He paid me some very flattering attention and persuaded me to meet for a night together. He was exceedingly charming, and it was... Well, I'm not used to being courted, and it felt like he was doing that. I was quite taken in. And we met and had a very nice meal, and he plied me with drink and had me ride him. It was good, I think. It's not quite clear in my memory, but I'm reasonably sure I enjoyed myself up until I fell asleep. And then I woke up with my clothes and possessions and rings stolen. I did not enjoy that part. He was trying to sound light, but Dazel could hear the hurt. Granted, he wanted to rob me. Did he have to make me feel quite such a fool? He even left me a note saying it was my fault. Your fault that he robbed you? He said I shouldn't put temptation in people's way. I suppose by having a few costly items with me, or perhaps by falling asleep too soon. I felt it was rather an unkind jab. Temptation in people's way, Dazel said. His voice sounded hollow in his own ears. About your height, dark hair, hazel eyes. He didn't, by any chance, have a purple birthmark on his ass. He did, actually, Cassian responded. And then his face changed as his brain caught up with the words. How the devil did you know that? Because I've seen it. The same way as you did. Cassian sat up in a jerk. He robbed you too? Of course not. I've nothing to steal. His name's Martin Nichols. He's a friend, I suppose. Cassian was staring at him. You knew who he was all along. Dazel rolled his eyes. If I had, I'd have spared myself a lot of time in stagecoaches. I would have known all along if you'd told me you'd tupped him and what happened. That's a lot more distinctive than a mulberry coat. You're friends with a thief. He's a valet, Dazel said. Well, he was until an unfortunate incident left him with the sort of reference that does you no good.
You mean he robbed his master?
Yes and no.
Dazel had no great urge to defend Martin, but he also had strong feelings about false accusations.
His master wouldn't take no for an answer. He had his way by force, and told Martin afterwards it was his fault for putting temptation in his way. So working on that principle, Martin helped himself to all the valuables he could carry and left. I grant that's theft if you want to apportion blame, but in the circumstances...
No.
Cassian looked rather sick.
I see.
He's got a bit of a temper, and little fondness for gentlemen. And if you heard some of his stories, nor would you have.
I see, and you are, or you were, lovers.
We used to fuck, Dazel said, which wasn't quite the whole truth. He can be charming, you know that. We got on very well for a while, only, oh, he was determined to be independent. I care for nobody and nobody cares for me. That was his song. But like a fool, I did start to care for him and he didn't like it. We had quite the pretty row in which he made it very clear I wasn't necessary to his happiness and he walked out.
Oh, the swine, Cassian said with startling venom. The miserable swine.
That's Martin.
Anyway, now we know who stole your ring, which means we can find him. Pick him up by his heels, and shake him till the ring falls out.
Cassian's face changed, as if he hadn't realized what this meant.
You can find him? I should think so. I bump into him now and again.
Cassian scrubbed his face with the heels of his hands.
I'm going to need a moment to grasp this. I'd given up, in truth. I was going to drag myself round a string of pawn shops to prove to myself I'd tried everything, but I didn't really believe we had a chance, and now...
Dazel, you are astonishing.
I'm nothing of the kind.
It's pure good fortune we both happen to fuck the same man.
I wouldn't call it good myself.
Why is he your friend still?
Dazel opened his mouth to reply and realized there wasn't much to say.
When you've nothing to do and you drift and you meet the same person drifting the same sort of way,
well, an awkward friendship is still better than nothing.
He's not a bad fellow, truly, underneath. But he was badly treated, and he passes it on to people he shouldn't.
Is it that bad, Daze, the way you live?
He felt himself redden.
Yeah, well, I feel lonely sometimes, but it suits some people. I expect you'd do perfectly well in my shoes because you're not needy.
Needy and tiresome, Martin had said, when Dazel had attempted to suggest they try something more than drifting in and out of one another's orbits.
It still hurt.
You aren't needy, Cassian said, which just meant to show he wasn't that acute, or that Dazel had finally learned to conceal his desperate craving for affection. It was about time he did. His parents had taught him how pointless it was, and Martin how unappealing.
And I don't know about that. I have plenty of aunts and uncles and cousins. This journey is the first time I've done things on my own in my life.
That explained a lot.
Dazel nodded.
What about your parents?
My mother died when I was a baby and my father when I was six.
Oh, that's hard, I'm sorry. I wasn't deprived of care by that, Cassian said.
The opposite, really.
My father was preoccupied and quite vague and didn't know what to do with a small child. I don't remember him very well, to be honest. He used to come into the nursery sometimes, and I thought he was terribly tall and grand. But mostly I remember him after. When he was dead, I mean.
I remember that very clearly because they brought me in to see him and gave me the ring from his hand. And I didn't want to put it on.
It was still warm, you see, although he was dead, and it felt...
Well, children have fancies, don't they?
Dazel gaped at him.
Literally off his hand? Why on earth?
Cassian, who had been looking rather lost in memory, blinked and went very red.
Oh, it's a tradition. My great-grandfather's ring, heirloom, you know. Lots of families do it.
It's demented, Dazel said frankly. What a thing to do to a child, good lord.
And that's the one Martin stole.
You do want it back, do you?
Yes. No accounting for taste.
Then we'll get it back by hook or crook.
Cassian swallowed.
Thank you. But what I had intended to say was that you needn't feel sorry for me for lacking parents. Nurse was always wonderful, and my uncle went to the greatest possible lengths to act in loco parentis. Far more than my actual father would have, while the aunts, I had five, gave a non-stop commentary on how well or poorly he was doing. I have been surrounded by people who look after me all my life. If anything, I could do with a great deal less coddling. I love them all, and I am truly grateful. But sometimes it makes me want to scratch my skin off.
Dazel blinked at the sudden snap in his voice. Cassian raised a hand, the brief expression of frustration dissolving.
I have no reason to complain, none in the world. But I have come to find it a little stifling. So I leapt at the chance to take this month away, as generously granted by Mr. Martin, or whatever his name is. I was desperate to be myself alone, whereas you have a great deal more solitude than you want. Things are very poorly distributed.
Dazel had snagged on alone.
Are you saying that you want more time on your own now? Because if...
No,
Cassian said quickly. No, not at all.
Your company isn't overbearing, not in the slightest. It never is.
You're wonderfully easy. The best companion I could have asked for.
Oh.
Cassian gave him a glinting smile. And full of ideas, and going to find my ring with a bit of luck, and I think we mentioned this earlier, the best, you know.
What was that?
Cassian pinked. He wasn't prone to bad language, and Dazel could see him gather his nerve.
The best, fuck of my life?
You can say that whenever you like.
Cassian looked wonderfully flustered.
The point is, I don't at all want time on my own. Actually, if we could, well, keep on being with one another, I'd like that very much.
Dazel couldn't quite find a reply, or he could, but it would entirely explode Cassian's bizarre idea that he wasn't needy or overbearing.
Because what he wanted was to demand exactly what being together meant, and precisely how long keep on might mean.
He failed to answer for long enough that Cassian's smile wavered.
If you want to, I mean, once we have the ring, it's up to you. I do realize I'm not terribly exciting.
What? No, yes, yes, of course I'd like to carry on, but
what the devil do you mean by exciting?
My father was exciting. I've been exciting, and it's got me expelled and disgraced and nearly horsewhipped.
And you?
He groped for words.
It's not even that you aren't exciting yourself, it's just that you do it so quietly.
You quietly calm a set of panicking horses, and quietly let yourself out when you're kidnapped, and quietly scheme to bamboozle Parsons.
Good God, Cass, you're like a cool drink on a hot day.
Anyone who tells you otherwise isn't paying attention.
That?
Cassian looked far more struck than the remark deserved.
That is very lovely, and goodness.
I intend to think about that.
I have two questions.
What do we do next? And
his hand slid meaningfully down Dazel's flank.
Do we have to do it yet?
I'll work on it and no, Dazel said. We most definitely do not.
Once they got up, which was shamefully late, Dazel turned his mind to the matter of finding Martin Nichols. It wasn't a problem he'd considered before. It was a long time since he'd wanted to find him. Martin had had the stuffing knocked out of him rather worse than Dazel had. He'd been a valet to a baronet and had high ambitions of improving himself, snatched away by a selfish swine who took what he wanted and left wreckage in his wake. Dazel had only sympathy with that, and he quite understood Martin's reaction both to escape and to do something vengeful on his way out. Unfortunately, that reaction had ruined him. He'd robbed his abusive master and made himself a criminal by it. And he was still stewing in anger at himself and the world when he and Dazel had had their affair. Dazel had been desperate to care and be cared for. Martin had wanted to care for nothing and nobody. The affair had ended up hurting them both for no good reason. It didn't do to want more than people were willing to give.
Dazel had never set out to find the man in his peregrinations, and had absolutely no idea how to go about it. But Cassium was regarding him with a calm, confident expectation that he'd perform some piece of wizardry, and Dazel felt a strong urge to live up to it. "I've several times met him at the Green Lion in Coventry," he mused as they pored over a map Cassian had acquired. He put his finger on the town. "He's the landlord's cousin or some such, and I've met him in Kidderminster and Leamington Spa, and you met him in Gloucester." They contemplated the map, obscured by his splayed hand. Cassian said, "We need a pen," and then, conscientiously, "I'll get it." He returned with a poorly cut pen and a pot of execrable lumpy ink, which was about what Dazel expected from an inn, especially one in a provincial town. Cassian clicked his tongue, but circled the places they'd met Martin between them. Dazel contemplated it. "I don't know if that tells us anything at all, honestly." Cassian frowned at the map. "Is it him sticking to the Midlands, or you?" "It's not me. I've never met him outside the Midlands, though." "I suppose, given he recently robbed me in Gloucester, he would want to stay away from there. And we know he headed to Stratford, going east. And I've met him in Coventry several times. For want of any better ideas, shall we start there?" "So we have to get there from here. Indeed. Might this be the time to hire a coach?" Dazel suggested. Cassian's head came up with a startled, almost wary look. "Sorry? It wouldn't cost so much more to take a private coach and pair than to go the public way, and we'd get there a deal faster and more comfortably. I'm not telling you how to spend your money," he added, since Cassian didn't look as if this was a welcome suggestion. "Do as you please, but it would seem to make sense." "Yes, it would," Cassian said. I can't. "Can't what, drive?" He didn't believe that for a second. "Now, of course I can drive. I can't hire a private chaise. The thing is, I made a wager." "A wager to do what?" "Take the public coach for a month, or at least not hire my own carriage. My cousin told me that I lacked experience of life and wouldn't be able to manage on my own. We had something of a dispute and we made a bet." Dazel sat back with a sigh. "Seems harsh. Granted you were something of a greenhorn initially, you've learned fast enough, and there's nothing praiseworthy in using the stage for its own sake. It's just a damned uncomfortable means of transport. Still, if it's a wager..." He shrugged acquiescence. Cassian tipped his head. "You don't mind. It's inconvenient and uncomfortable for you, and for a rather foolish reason. But it's a wager. I take it you want to win." "Yes." "Well then," Dazel said, trying not to let his weariness show, and reached for Patterson's British itinerary again. Chapter 12. It was a long way to Coventry. That would help throw any possible pursuer off, which was good. On the other hand, it gave Dazel too much time to think about things. He was beginning to fear Cassian was richer than he'd thought. The pack of concerned relatives, the fact that he'd barely taken the public stage before, the absurd wager, the heirloom ring. That was disheartening. A quiet country gentleman possessed of a competence might live very happily with a companion out of the public eye. Rich men had responsibilities, and people around them who guarded their wealth, and perhaps pressures to marry. Not that Dazel had any right or reason to dream of that imagined quiet existence. He knew perfectly well it was too much to ask of life. Unfortunately, that knowledge didn't stop him hoping. He always hoped. He wished he could stop. Cassian had called him the best companion he could have asked for, and Dazel felt so much the same that it hurt a little. Cassian was delightful in his unobtrusive way. A good friend, a fascinating lover, a competent ally, an entertaining partner in absurdity. And Dazel didn't want to think about parting. About Cassian going back to his established life, where people poked at him to be louder and thought he was a nonentity, and nobody listened to what he wanted.
about Daisel being alone again. But far more alone now because he'd feel Cassian's absence. About the fact that if Cassian was wealthy, they'd unquestionably have to part. Because nobody would be pleased to see a well-off young man turn up with George Charnage's son in tow. Cassian would know that as well as anyone. And yet he had said he wanted to keep on being together. Daisel couldn't let himself draw too much significance from that, or he'd destroy himself with hoping. Almost certainly, Cassian had just meant until his month was up. But still he had said, keep on. Not keep on for the rest of the month. And Daisel's idiot heart couldn't be persuaded to let that go. He ought to do something sensible, such as talk to Cassian about what he really meant. He didn't dare. For one, they'd only known each other a handful of days. For all, it felt like a lifetime. For another, he didn't want to press Cassian to anything. He was the one with a life and a family and things to lose. Daisel had lost those things, and he couldn't bear to think of Cassian going through that, especially not with himself as the cause. For a third, the reason he was trying to hide behind the rest, he remembered very clearly the disgust in Martin's voice. Christ, stop wanting things of me, it's revolting. Martin had not been at his best then, and he'd apologized since. But the word still hurt. Daisel liked people and liked to be liked. And revolting had sat under his skin for a long time now. So no, he was not going to make demands of Cassian, who was a grown man perfectly capable of saying what he wanted when or if he wanted it. God, Daisel wished he would. Brooding at least distracted him through the tedious journey to Coventry. It was well past four when they arrived. It's this way for the Green Lion, Daisel said. I vote we head there first, see if Martin's there, or if anyone knows where to find him, and indeed take lodgings while we're at it. Cassian nodded. It seems ridiculous to say I'm tired when I've done nothing but sit all day, but I'm exhausted. I am sorry for inflicting this on you. Can't be helped. Nevertheless, unless we have a very firm lead, may I suggest we don't spend tomorrow in a coach. Coventry has a wonderful cathedral. It would be a shame for you to miss it. That was shameless manipulation, and Cassian duly perked up. Yes, of course. Would you care to come? I suppose you've been a dozen times already. Never set foot there in my life. You can tell me all about it. The Green Lion was much as ever. Forster, the landlord, gave Daisel a warm welcome, and Cassian an interested once-over. Room, is it? For a couple of nights, Daisel agreed. One bed or two. One will do very well. How have you been, old fellow? They caught up with news, talking of this and that for a few moments before Daisel went for the question. By the way, has Martin Nichols passed through recently? No, not for a couple of months. Cassian didn't curse, or sag, or anything dramatic. But Daisel heard just the faintest resigned sigh. Blast. Forster cocked his head. You able to see him? Thought you weren't on terms. I've a bone to pick with him. You'll have your chance if you can hang about for a few days, which you usually can, Forster added unkindly. Martin's always here for my Grace's birthday. She turns 10 on Friday, so I dare say he'll pitch up. Will he? Daisel said. Excellent. Then we'll be staying till Friday. Forster showed them up to the room, where Cassian dropped his bag on the floor and put his hands on his hips. I have at least 15 things to say at once. Have we truly found him? With a bit of luck. An incredulous grin spread across Cassian's face. Good God, Daisel, I could never, ever have done this without you. Thank me when we get the ring back off Martin, Daisel reminded him, but he was smiling too, caught by Cassian's joy. I hope to blazes he's still got it. Even if he doesn't, because I am not going to pin my hopes on that at all, I will know that I tried my best and did what I could. If he does have it, do you think he'll give it back? If he knows what's good for him, what else was it you wanted to say? Well, the bed, the landlord. He's trustworthy, Daisel reassured him. This is a safe sort of place. No maids barging into rooms or awkward questions about linen or who sleeps where. It's a Molly house. It's an inn. Just a friendly one where one doesn't have to bribe the maids or leave by the windows.
Oh, Cassian frowned. But what about everywhere else we've stayed? We've left most of them after a night and you've tipped lavishly, which he had assumed was buying complacence. But Cassian's blank look suggested otherwise. He just tipped to excess as a matter of principle.
Rich, Dazel thought again.
I'm not advising indiscretion in the public rooms. Just saying the landlord's a decent fellow.
But, Cassian winced. If people found out I lodged here, would that be suggestive?
What people? You live over the far side of Gloucester.
Who would notice or care where you stay in Coventry? And in any case, it's not a brothel. It's an inn, albeit one where you might find like-minded company if you were looking for that. There's usually somewhere in a good-sized town if you know where to go.
But I don't know.
Cassian looked a little lost, somehow almost bleak.
I've only ever really gone to one place, and it's quite exclusive, you know, and awfully careful. I've never been to a normal sort of Molly house.
I could take you if you like, Dazel offered, and saw on his face that was wrong.
Or not. Do you not want to stay here? I assumed you'd want a safe place.
Cassian rubbed his face.
Because this is a safe sort of place for you.
Well, yes. Is there something wrong?
No, I dare say not. It's a new experience, and I'm supposed to have those. I'm sorry I'm being very silly when you found our quarry and a good place to stay while we wait.
He shook himself.
Forgive me, could we perhaps take a stroll and stretch our legs?
I don't know Coventry at all, and if we'll be here a while, I should acquaint myself.
You're just itching for the cathedral, aren't you?
Dazel said and led him out. It was a pleasant afternoon and Coventry was a lovely town. It wore its medieval history on its sleeve, with some surviving town gates, though the walls between them had long gone, and two churches whose exteriors had Cassian wrapped with admiration. Dazel had never considered them beyond tall and pointy. He expected to learn a great deal more in the near future, and found himself rather looking forward to it. They strolled in a leisurely way and returned to the Green Lion for an excellent dinner and a pleasant evening in the taproom. It was pleasant indeed. Dazel's wanderings around the country and friendly habits meant he had a wide acquaintance. The Green Lion was where he always came when he passed through the area, and he greeted familiar faces with pleasure. Cassian said little, but he was an excellent listener, a trait which would win him popularity in any drinking establishment. Dazel told a couple of amusing stories, got belly laughs, laughed immoderately at other people's stories, and made half a dozen new passing friends. He was thrumming with energy when they retired upstairs.
Goodness, Cassian said, sitting on the bed. What a lively evening. You enjoyed yourself?
I did you?
Yes.
He sounded as though he was slightly surprised.
It was very entertaining. I usually find big noisy gatherings rather exhausting.
I think the trick is not having people particularly want one to talk.
It's much more enjoyable when I can just listen without feeling obliged to say something.
If you want to be surrounded by people who talk so much you couldn't get a word in if you tried, you've come to the right place.
With the right man, he was forced to add, since he was well aware he'd been chattering all night.
Yes, that was perfect, Cassian agreed quite seriously.
Everyone allowed you to talk for us both. I wish you could do that normally.
Dazel frowned. You've plenty to say for yourself.
When I want to.
The problem is when I've nothing at all I want to say, and yet people still press me to converse. I find that dreadfully tiring.
He cocked his head.
Whereas you look quite invigorated. Have I been keeping you from the social whirl?
Yes, all those invitations to soirees I've turned down, Dazel said, a touch more sarcastically than he'd meant.
No, not at all.
I like company, but if it's too much for you.
If I find it too much, I shall retreat and read a book, and be as happy in my solitude as you are in company.
Unless that would be offensive, he added quickly. I don't want to be standoffish.
Nobody will mind in the slightest.
We can find a bookseller tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
Buy books, explore the town. And I thought,
perhaps you could cut me one of your special profiles. I have wondered about that a great deal, you know. How you'd do it.
I'll need you to inspire me, Dazel said, and reached for him.
The next few days were quiet bliss. They bought books, several, since they both liked the Waverley author. They saw the sights of Coventry, with Dazel discovering once again that a man who was interested in everything made everything interesting. They took long walks that alternated talking and comfortable silence, and spent entertaining evenings with the regulars of the Green Lion. It all made for remarkably full days. And then there were the nights. Oh, Lord, the nights. He didn't think he'd ever forget this time.
Cassian had taken Dazel's request to heart, whispering those glorious endearments, telling Dazel he was so marvellous, so giving, such a very good boy, and Dazel was almost embarrassingly weak-kneed under the onslaught of lips and fingers, and most of all those soft words in that bard's voice. It was ridiculous how the praise went straight to his prick, and he didn't care. Partly it felt too good. Partly Cassian had thrown himself wholeheartedly into the role, and was reveling in the effect of his words. And if it made him happy to bring Dazel to whimpering bliss, Dazel wasn't going to complain. He'd returned the favor with another planned good morning fuck, every bit as successfully as before, leaving Cassian as sated and boneless as a cat in sunlight. He might possibly be dead and in heaven, except he didn't think he'd done anything to merit this. He had their mutual pleasure, and Cassian's company and friendship, and their growing intimacy. He had no stagecoaches rattling his bones, no worries about money. He might have worried about time because Cassian's month was running down with every day that passed. But that would spoil things. So he cut off the thought when it came and set himself to enjoy each moment as he lived it. Something in Cassian seemed to melt away over those days too, some reserve or worry. He stayed up with the raucous crowd a couple of times and was once persuaded to tell a mildly warm story that was greeted by great applause and hoots of laughter. He'd glowed as if he'd never got a laugh in a public bar before. And Dazel didn't know how his heart could keep expanding like this. He cut Cassian's shade, showing him the whole process, starting with smearing thick paper with lampblack. He didn't trouble with a pencil outline. By now he could have cut that quietly elegant profile in the dark. He did too. A standard shade of Cassian ruffled and smiling, which he pasted opposite a hollow cut in more serious pose. He also did an extremely questionable full-length version, which involved a great deal of giggling, and which he insisted, with regret on both sides, they burn afterwards. He'd learned his lesson there. Everything was perfect until Friday. Forster hailed them as they came in after a morning's walk and leisurely luncheon.
"Days, you might want to know Martin's here. He's giving Gracie a birthday present."
"Good," Dazel said. "We'd like to have a word when he's done. Can we have the parlour and don't tell him it's me, will you? I'd like to surprise him."
"I'll bet you I would. You sit down, I'll send him along."
Dazel gestured Cassian towards the parlour. "Shall we?"
"Yes, or I was wondering, is it a good idea for me to be there? That is, if he feels he has a hold over me, might that not make for a more difficult bargaining position?"
"He doesn't have a hold over you, does he?"
"Well, the indiscretion.
If he threatens to use that against you in this place, Forster will rip him limb from limb," Dazel pointed out.
"That said, I dare say he's more likely to ask you for money than he would be me, since I haven't got any. It might be best if you stayed out of the way unless you want to tell him what you think of him."
Cassian sighed. "I just want my ring back. I am reluctant to pay him for it since he's already had my pocketbook and possessions, but if I have to..."
He would not be doing any such thing.
And if he was considering it, Dazel wanted him well out of the way where Martin wouldn't be able to read his face.
"Look, you go and read Kenilworth so I can have it off you sooner. I'll get your ring back or find what he did with it, all right?"
Cassian gave him a smile that twisted Daisel's heart in his chest. Wistful and happy and trusting all at once.
Thank you, Daisel, he said softly. Can I kiss you in here?
Very much so.
Cassian caught his face with both hands, bringing their mouths together, kissing him with a breath-sapping intensity, and then resting his head against Daisel's.
You mean so much to me, Daisel. I'm so glad I met you.
So am I, Daisel managed.
Cassian's hands were on his shoulders now, hanging on tight, almost desperate, and he needed to say something. To ask for what he wanted, and find out if it even remotely resembled anything he could have.
Look, I want to talk about this, about us, being together.
Cassian looked up at him with huge, rain-swept eyes, and Daisel's heart contracted like a clenched fist. He took a deep breath.
The thing is, I love you.
Cassian's eyes widened, lips parting in what looked like shock.
Daisel hurried on because it was too late to stop. I know it's not been long, but I've been falling in love with you since we met, and I had to say so, and I can't let this end without trying to keep it, because this has been the best few weeks of my life. I'm well aware I've no money and a tainted name, and I quite see the difficulty, and if it can't work, if you don't want to or have other obligations, I shan't make a fuss. Don't fear that.
Only if you want to be with me at all, then you should know. I want that more than anything. Because I love you.
Oh, God. There were tears in Cassian's eyes, and his fingers were tight on Daisel's shoulders.
You really mean that?
Me?
Just me?
Who else is there?
Cassian made a hoarse noise and pulled him in hard, making Daisel realize how much he'd feared him pulling away.
Yes, absolutely yes. I want to be with you so much, Days. You've changed everything.
And the way you make me feel, I need you.
Daisel kissed him with all the urgency he felt.
Cassian's lips met his fiercely for a moment, then he pulled away.
Wait, listen, we have to talk. There's things I need to tell you, important things.
Not with Martin about to walk in on us.
Good God, this had been a stupid time to make a declaration.
But he'd done it, and Cassian had said yes. And Daisel couldn't stop grinning.
Cassian wanted this, wanted him.
Perfect. You should go and I'll be up soon.
Cassian nodded.
If you have to offer him anything to get it back, do not say that where he might hear you. Go on, clear off, leave it to me.
You're wonderful and I love you.
I do.
Oh God, Cass.
Daisel kissed him again, grabbing his hair.
Go. Or he'll walk in on entirely the wrong thing.
Good luck, Cassian added a last swift kiss, and left him alone, quivering with joy.
Cassian felt the same.
He hadn't called him needy or cut him off without a thought.
He wanted Daisel.
Wanting wasn't everything, he reminded himself. He had a disgraced name and dubious reputation. Cassian had an overbearing family and responsibilities. Presumably the things he needed to talk about. And that might be hard or impossible to overcome.
Love didn't conquer all.
In Daisel's experience, it had yet to conquer anything at all.
But he'd still asked, because he loved Cassian, and the last few weeks had been perfect.
And the only thing worse than the prospect of rejection had been the idea of losing that happiness because he was too afraid to ask for it.
He'd asked, and Cassian loved him.
And just for now, he'd let himself hope for the best.
Because the best was more joyous than he'd dare to dream of in so long.
He was thinking of new ways to say I love you, feet up on a stool to aid cogitation, when Martin came in.
All right, Daisel,
he said with a nod. It was hardly a greeting for once lovers who'd not seen each other in a year or more. But Daisel also saw warmth in the other man's eyes, and what looked like rueful embarrassment. He rolled his own eyes demonstratively.
Good to see you too.
Martin took a chair, apparently feeling that the civilities had been dealt with.
So, what news?
Forster tells me you're big with it.
He gave Daisel an assessing look.
You seem well fed.
That was the result of more than a fortnight eating at Cassian's expense. Daisel had noticed his clothes were better fitting. I hope that's a compliment.
Martin shrugged. I hear you've got a, now, what would it be, patron?
That took Daisel's breath for a moment. What did you say?
Wealthy, mousy, sharing your bed.
Go to the devil. Daisel found his fists were clenched. Really, Martin, go to hell if that's what Forster said.
I drew conclusions.
I'll draw your ass into the street if you don't mind your tongue.
Martin's brows were up now. I heard you were here with some pliant plump in the pocket sort. Am I mistaken?
You're a prick. He's a damned fine man, and he's quiet, not pliant. And I'm not sponging off him.
What, you've paid for your own food?
He raised a hand as Daisel took a deep breath.
All right, I'll take your word. You've a wealthy, not patron, companion. Good for you. What are you doing with him then?
Helping him with something, enjoying his company. One can do that, you know, be pleasant to one another and not treat people one cares for like punching bags. One can talk about things and care what each other thinks and be...
He waved a hand.
Together.
Good Christ, Martin said. Are you in love or something?
Oh my God. You are. It's none of your business.
You are. Well, that puts a different complexion on it. A fellow with funds, though. I'd watch that if I were you.
Daisel took a deep breath.
Martin held up both hands. Just saying. Rich men buy things and throw them away.
I am not bought and Cassian is not buying. He has money, yes, but there are more important things. He trusts me. He trusts me, Martin. He thinks my father wronged me. He's trusted me with personal matters. He believes I can do well by him.
He gestured, since he had no way of voicing what that was or what it meant.
And if he did find those words, they would be for Cassian. He trusts me.
Do you trust him? Martin said. Can you? Really?
That was a brutal question from him. Daisel met his eyes. I love him. He loves me. I don't know if we can make something of this, but I trust him to try. That's all anyone can ask.
Martin pressed his lips together.
Daisel couldn't quite make out his expression.
Well, he said after a moment, you deserve to be happy, Daisel, and I'm glad for you. I'll buy you a drink, you and your beau. We can toast your future. Don't make more of a mess of it than you can help.
I don't intend to,
and I'll hold you to that drink.
But talking of messes,
I have a bone to pick with you.
About what?
Cassian, that's what, my lover.
Under the name... Damnation, he'd forgotten.
Another name.
You met him in Gloucester, bedded him and robbed him, calling yourself John Martin.
Don't make faces, he added,
because Martin was staring at him with a look of stunned horror. If you're ashamed at being caught for it, you shouldn't have done it.
How? Martin swallowed. How did you find me?
He told me about it and I realized it was you. He wants his ring back, the one you stole off his finger.
God rot it, what did you have to be such an arsehole for?
What terrible thing did he do that you felt obliged to take everything down to his clothes and the ring? His dead father's ring, for God's sake, off his finger.
Did he dare to enjoy your company and say so? How long are you going to punish everyone you meet for one man's acts?
He regretted that last immediately, since Martin's face had gone an unattractively grey shade.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But you...
Shut up!
No, stop talking, Dave. Let me think.
That man.
Him. He's your lover.
We met. He asked me to help him retrieve his ring. We took a shine to one another. If you even think to use that...
Martin licked his lips. Do you know who he is?
Cassian. His name's Vernon Cassian.
Oh, Christ.
Martin pressed his fingers to his temples, making white dints in the flesh.
Hell and damnation. I'm so sorry, Daisel. Truly, I am.
as you should be, and you can tell him so yourself. He's just upstairs. Sorry for you, not him.
I'm extremely sorry for you.
Martin exhaled hard.
Just to be sure, we're talking about a short, inconsequential sort of fellow, yes? Brown hair, soft voice. How many men did you fuck and rob in Gloucester?
One.
I hoped he might have sent someone to retrieve his ring for him.
What? Why would he?
Martin squeezed his eyes shut for a second, visibly bracing himself. Because the man I robbed, the wonderful lover who trusts you so, is the Duke of Severn. And it doesn't sound like you know that.
Dazzle turned the words over in his mind, gave it some thought and said, Are you drunk?
I wish to God I was. What did you say he called himself?
Vernon Cassian.
He told me Wotton. In fact, this is burned on my memory. He's Vernon Fortescue Cassian George de Vere Cross, Duke of Severn, Earl of Armsford, Baron Cross of Wotton, and Baron Vere.
No, Dazzle said. No, that's not...
No. Yes. And I know this for a fact, because when I attempted to pawn the ring, the pawnbroker asked me if it was a replica of the Severn ring. He showed me a picture of the bloody thing, so I went and found a likeness of the Duke. It's a damn cheek to look that insignificant when you bear quite so many titles.
Sailing under false colours.
Dazzle was barely listening. He couldn't seem to think.
Severn,
he repeated. The child Duke of Severn had been to Eton at the same time as him, a few years below.
Dazzle remembered again that small, pale boy, and thought of Cassian with his dead father's ring put warm on his finger, and his responsibilities, and his grand tour, and how he had dropped shirts on the floor as if someone would pick them up.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Martin said again. I quite believe you trusted him and thought he trusted you. But you shouldn't have, and he didn't.
He's a duke.
And as for how I treated him, I know. I only meant to take the money, but he had so much. Money, things, silver and gold, and it made me angry, and I just got carried away. Since when, I've spent the last fortnight looking over my shoulder in a state of sheer terror, which I dare say I deserve. You're welcome to his damned ring. Good riddance. I was tempted to throw it in a ditch, but I decided I'd rather be able to give it back.
He fished the ring out of his pocket as he spoke. Dazzle held out his hand, which was shaking a little, and took it. An odd, lumpy, rather misshapen thing in red gold.
Doesn't look like much, he said, because he couldn't think of anything else to say.
A very unremarkable object at first glance. But if you examine it closely, it's a dragon, Martin said. Much like its owner.
I'm getting out of here. You sure he doesn't have men with him?
Yes.
Go.
Dazzle should probably get more answers out of him, but he didn't think he cared anymore. He didn't think he cared about anything at all.
He'd known Cassian was keeping his background private, but thought it was because he had not wanted to rub in his own prosperity to a man who had only the clothes he stood up in. That he was holding back out of natural reluctance to boast. That he didn't want to be seen to buy. He'd thought Cassian had trusted him. He'd said as much to Martin because he'd wanted to proclaim the joy of what he'd found. What a fool. What a lie. What an embarrassment.
Days.
Martin was standing, looking down at him with pity that stung like a handful of nettles.
I've seen that look on your face before.
And may God punish every man who's ever put it there.
You didn't deserve it from me, and you truly don't from him, and if you want company, I'll wait for you. I'll swear not to be a prick about this.
Dazzle didn't reach up for his hand. Martin's sympathy wasn't comforting, and he didn't want it. He wanted Cassian's hand on his shoulder. Cassian's comfort. Cassian didn't exist.
He swallowed. I'd rather be on my own, I think.
Christ, Martin said. I'm glad I took that title on Entity's clothes. I wish I'd given him clap. I'm heading to Leamington Spa, then probably down to Oxford. I'll leave a note at the Rose and Crown in Leamington if you should want to catch me up.
For God's sake, be careful, Daisel. Dukes are hazardous creatures.
Chapter 13. Cassian had retreated to their bedroom. It was a pleasant room for an inn, with a reasonably sized window, a reasonably comfortable bed, enough space for two men to share without being irritatingly on top of one another. Admittedly, that was in part because neither he nor Daisel was particularly big, and in part because they enjoyed being on top of one another. But still, he was pleased at his own contentment in this small bare room, decorated only with Daisel's shades. Cassian's bedroom at home was three times the size. It had a luxurious bed that could fit five of him, a canaletto, and a lovely painting of his mother by Sir Joshua Reynolds on the walls. Fine porcelain, and beautiful furnishings and velvet curtains. It was a palatial room, and he was undeniably looking forward to sleeping in it again. But at this moment, the thought of it had a very empty feel. What was he going to do? Daisel loved him. Daisel wanted to be with him. Not just now, but in the future, for as long as they could have. Daisel didn't know who he was because Cassian had lied to him every single day. Cassian wanted time too, not just the remainder of his dwindling month, but proper time, long time, all the time. He'd stopped himself from making Daisel promises he didn't yet know how to keep, but he would make them soon. He wanted to give Daisel everything, starting with himself. They'd had day after day with nothing to do but enjoy one another, in bed and out. And with the inevitability of gravity, Cassian had tumbled headlong from liking to love. He craved Daisel painfully. He had wild thoughts of simply not going home that he knew were impossible, but in which he allowed himself to indulge for shameful moments here and there. He needed cheerful, absurd, erratic Daisel with him. Because when Daisel was present, he felt like himself. And it was him that Daisel loved. Him, Cassian. Not the Duke, with his money and grandeur acting as compensation for his personal insignificance. So all Cassian had to do was work out a way to tell him the truth, and also a means by which Daisel Charnage could be in his overly examined, ever-correct, scandal-free ducal life. And everything would be perfect. There would be a way, he told himself. Daisel was ingenious, and Cassian was a duke with all that entailed. Wealth, power, authority. Between them, they'd come up with something. Just as soon as Cassian admitted that he'd been lying to him from the moment they'd met. He thought about how to do that, sitting by the window with Kenilworth unread in his hand, feeling rather sick. Daisel would surely understand that there had never been a good time, that saying it too early would have killed everything that had grown between them. He was still thinking about it when Daisel came in. Cassian looked around, starting a greeting, and leapt to his feet as he saw Daisel's face. What's wrong? What happened? Are you all right? All right? Well, that's a question. Here. He walked over, grabbed Cassian's unresisting hand, and dropped something into it. Something small, cold, and gold. My ring! Cassian hadn't let himself believe this was possible. He couldn't have borne imagining getting it back, only to learn it had been pawned or sold or lost. You got it, you found it, oh God! He pushed it on his finger with a shaking hand, feeling it slide into its rightful place, filling a gap whose yawning depths he only now let himself realize. The Seven Ring, back where it belonged. And he would never, ever be so foolish as to lose it or risk it again. He gripped his right hand in his left, clutching the ring to himself. I can't believe it, Daisel, I owe you everything, I...
He looked up and his throat dried.
He'd seen Dazel's face as he walked in, wearing an expression he didn't recognize or like. That had been quite driven out by the joy of having his ring back. And as he'd looked up, he'd expected Dazel would be smiling. That he'd put on that grim look as a jest, a pretense something had gone wrong in order to enjoy Cassian's happiness all the more. He wasn't smiling now. He wasn't smiling at all.
Daze?
Dazel met his eyes in a long, hard stare.
Your Grace?
What's wrong?
Cassian asked. And then, too late, the words sank in. He felt color draining from his face.
Daze.
You have the ring you hired me to retrieve, Dazel said. His voice was stiff and thick.
The Seven Ring. So that completes my period of service to Your Grace. You owe me £50.
No, yes, but Daze, listen.
To what?
Dazel demanded, the stiffness cracking like a thrown glass.
To you explaining why you've made a fucking fool out of me for weeks and lied to my face? How could you do that to me? Why? Jesus Christ, did you think I needed to feel stupider than I am? Or did you just not think about me at all while you got what you wanted?
That's not true.
Cassian's face was burning, his throat closing. He hated being shouted at.
You must see, I couldn't just say.
You couldn't just say who you are?
No, I couldn't, I was incognito.
So? What, if there's Latin involved, it's not a lie?
I couldn't say it first, and then later I didn't want to be the Duke,
Cassian said, the words spilling out urgently.
I wanted to be myself with you, not to have that standing in the way, because it would have done, you know it would.
It would, it does. And if I'd known it stood in the way before, I wouldn't have said and done a lot of things. I wouldn't have cared for you and believed you cared.
Dazel was crying,
Cassian realized with horror, angry tears in his brown eyes.
I said things, felt things. This isn't fair.
You had no right to make me love you when you always knew I couldn't.
No, Dazel, please.
Panic was creeping through him in a cold sweat.
I should have told you before, and I'm sorry, but things were so perfect. I didn't want to spoil them before I had to. How could we have had the time this week if I'd said it's been the best week of my life?
And as long as you're happy, that's what matters, Dazel snarled.
Listen to yourself. We couldn't have had this week if I knew you were a duke because I wouldn't have done it. You've been fucking me in my sleep, and I never gave you permission for that.
Cassin's stomach was roiling now with a sour brew of guilt and fear.
I'm sorry, I really am. But when should I have said it? And for God's sake, isn't this really the worst thing in the world? Yes, I'm a duke. That gives me
money.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you ask, yes. I have money and I have power. That means I can make things work for us.
How?
Well, I don't know yet, but we can... You don't know. If you could just fit me into your life with a wave of your hand, you'd say so. For God's sake, I don't know anything about your life, about you. And even I can tell how much scrutiny you're under. You had to go through this absurd wager of yours to even get a month...
Dazel stopped short.
This wager, what was it? What were the terms?
Cassian could hardly remember at this point. That I could live as a normal person for a month, not using my title or privilege, taking the stage and so on.
Living as a commoner.
Yes, exactly.
So telling me you were a duke would have meant you lost your bet.
Well, yes, Cassian said, and then,
no, that is not the reason, I swear, I didn't keep it from you for the bet.
You dragged me around half the Midlands in a set of miserable stages for your bet. You've got me mixed up with Sir James Vere again, and Christ knows what other trouble coming my way when you could have made everything we've encountered go away with your calling card and your purse, any time you liked, for your bet.
And you lied to me about who you were. And let me love you all for your damn bet.
It wasn't about the bet, Cassian protested. But he knew deep down it was, a little, and he feared the guilt showed on his face. He angrily dashed a tear away.
But what you wanted was all that mattered, because you're a duke and other people aren't as important as you.
But, Daze, no, I didn't. He had, though,
He knew he had. I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to be like other people.
You succeeded triumphantly, Dazel said. You're exactly like everyone else. I'm going.
No, stop. I know you're angry, but don't leave now. Not like this, please.
What am I supposed to stay for? Dazel shouted. To hear you explain why you didn't trust me, why you led me this damn fool dance over a damn fool wager. Why, you